Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Hey everyone, welcome. Thanks very much for joining us today. So glad you're with us. My next guest is Ross Givens. He's a chief market analyst for Wealth Empire, and he's an analyst and writer for Wealth Empire, and he advises subscribers on traditional and alternative wealth building strategies. And his service, the 13F Insider, tracks the trading activity of top hedge fund managers in order to find high conviction investment opportunities. He's also a former broker, advisor, and educator in the financial markets for companies like JP Morgan Chase and Regal Securities. And Ross grew up in the Gulf Coast in Mobile, Alabama. Believe it or not, he bought his first stock at age 12, and that was Microsoft. And he really wishes he held on to that one. So let's talk to Ross and find out what else he wishes he held on to and what else he thinks that we should be looking at. Ross, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Bill, thanks so much for having me. I hate every time I'm reminded about that Microsoft trade that I let go a little prematurely. I might not be working today.
Well, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, right? I mean, we've all been tested in markets at various times about, you know, I just don't think it's going to go. I just don't think it's going to catch on. This whole internet thing just isn't going to catch on.
Yeah. right. Yeah. It turned out a little different than we were expecting, I think.
So tell me about Wealth Empire. How'd you start it? And it's interesting. It sounds like you track some interesting information. So how does it work?
Yeah, we do. I've kind of been in the financial business for a while. You know, I was listening to your last presenter talk about his money management firm there and kind of how they structure that. And it was interesting because I was in that business for a long time, and I got a lot of respect for him and his peers because it's a tough way to earn a living. I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, over the years of analyzing stocks and picking investments for clients and myself, you know, we started to realize that we don't have to do all the work for ourselves, right? We spend so much time looking at stocks, what's in the headlines, you know, what's making news, when there are professional investors out there with insanely fantastic track records. You know, we're talking Warren Buffett, David Tepper, these guys that have decades of experience and success that have to publicly disclose their stock holdings. And so instead of starting with the 10,000 plus publicly traded companies and trying to dig through that pile, we can instead look to these experts, pick apart their top ideas, and really quickly culture a list of, you know, the highest conviction trade ideas from the top guys on Wall Street. So that's really the basis of our business. Now we go into other, you know, investment avenues and both traditional and non-traditional investments, you know, timberland and tax liens and that kind of thing. But when it comes to the stock market, it's been a much easier path, so to speak, to producing good returns.
That makes nothing but sense to stand on their shoulders if their information is available and you can take a look and see what they're doing. Of course, that doesn't give you that much insight as to what they're seeing is next, does it? Or are there, how do you figure out, okay, we see what they're doing. Are you looking at trend lines for where they're trending to?
Well, not necessarily. And you make a good point. It's not as if, you know, they're calling me before they place the trade, right? But, you know, we have a couple of things working for us. So the way it is, it's called a 13F filing. So any money manager who manages $100 million or more and does business in the U.S. is required to once a quarter file this 13F that includes all their stock positions. So it looks pretty crude when you see the report, but if you download this one in the previous quarter, back 10 years, you can work with that data and figure, okay, they're working their way out of this position. They're building up a position in this stock. You know, they add 1 million shares, then they had 3 million. Now they got 5 million, are still buying. And so what I'm looking at is stocks they purchased recently that I can still get for the same or near the same or even better price, right? So, you know, if you look at Warren Buffett's portfolio, it's not really going to help you out a lot today. But we know he owns Wells Fargo. We know he owns, you know, Bank of America contracts. We know that he owns Procter & Gamble and Coke and all these big companies, but he's been buying it for 40 years, right? So instead, when I look at, to give you an example, like David Tepper is a absolute titan on Wall Street. The guy's been producing astonishing returns for a couple of decades, and he loaded the boat pretty heavily in the previous quarter on General Motors. And then, you know, when that comes publicly information, you can kind of see, okay, he bought it somewhere in this 2 or 3 month period. The stock traded between, you know, for example, $33 to $35. So he's long from somewhere in there. And today I can get it at 31, 31 half. So that's still, you know, a viable option to kind of piggyback his idea. Now, you know, I do a little bit of my own analysis on it as well. But again, it's like you mentioned, I mean, these guys have access to information you and I can only dream of. They've got the top analysts on the street. They've got, you know, guys from on the floor whispering in their ear. So it's kind of shooting fish in a barrel, so to speak, versus trying to dig your way through, you know, all the stock options we have as investors.
That's brilliant. I really think that's brilliant. So you're looking for positions that have been recently purchased, but because of all of their, you know, their research, I mean, you know, imagine their research teams of some of these people that you're mentioning and groups that you're mentioning, and you're looking for things that have been recently purchased, but maybe they haven't taken off yet, but they're saying this is going to be our next buy and hold for the next period of whatever. And you're able to take that information and create recommendations and out of that. That's fantastic. I think it's great, smart use of information that's readily available that most of us wouldn't think of.
Yeah. You know, there's, I mean, and you're right. I mean, it's such a simple thing. Some people have a problem with it. Think, oh, I don't want to steal other people's ideas. Look, I don't care. Stolen stock idea earns just the same as one you came up with yourself. But, you know, we look at it a little bit deeper, obviously. I mean, you know, when you're talking about top hedge fund managers or money managers on Wall Street, look, some of these guys are managing $100 billion, right? So if they hold, let's say, 200 stocks in their portfolio and they just bought one that represents, you know, a half a percent or something, that's not really a red flag to me. It's not really one that's going to gain my attention. But if we got a guy, you know, that has a total stock portfolio only of 8 or 10 stocks, and he just put 12 or 15% of his portfolio into a single holding, you know, that's a high conviction idea, and that's one I'm going to be interested in, and we're going to do our research and potentially piggyback that idea.
Great idea. Now, in today's market, a lot of people, well, you know, this we're trying to make this an evergreen show, right? So we don't want this to be like, oh, today the market was up, today the market was down. But
right.
We are sitting in a situation right now. We're in late August of 2015. We're seeing a market that's been up to highs, and now it's starting to look a little nervous, a little bit confused about whether it's going to go any higher or what's going to happen. Of course, we don't know. But what do you see happening you know, there's this, the Fed's raising interest rates, the China, you know, the situation. Are people nervous now? Is this like a Warren Buffett, when people are nervous, get greedy kind of a situation?
Well, I don't think it's quite a Warren Buffett situation. I mean, when he talks about, you know, buy when others are fearful and be fearful when others are greedy, I mean, that generally refers to tops and bottoms. Now, people are a little bit fearful of the market today, and we're seeing that reflected in the indexes. I mean, the S&P's gone a whole lot of nowhere the first half of this year. But really, I mean, it comes down to big picture evaluations, right? You mentioned interest rates. We've been hearing that threat for 2 years now, and I think the majority of the potential effects of a Fed rate hike have already been priced into the market. Everyone is fully aware this is coming. If it were an unexpected hike, you know, of a whole percent or something, yes, that would affect the market negatively. But all that's been priced in today. You know, with rates so low, what we're really looking at is forward earnings multiples. And that's what the market generally moves on. It's what kind of a multiple of next year's forecasted earnings estimates are we dealing with? And most pundits will agree that when we get around 20 times forward earnings, that tends to be a really overinflated level for the market. It tends to be where we start to either break down or, you know, get in a real risk of doing so. We're not to that level yet. I mean, yes, the market is more expensive than it was in 2013, 2012, 2011, but it's nowhere near a 1999 type tech bubble level. So I'm not overly concerned. I mean, when I'm looking long term at the market, unless I get to a situation where I just can't make sense of many stocks out there, you know, I can't wrap my head around the prices, I'm still buying. And I think most investors would be wise to use these pullbacks and use the dips in the market and use the time to say, oh, no, you know, Greece is going into default, the market, falls, that's when you want to buy a stock. I mean, Greece has defaulted three times since 2010. They're going to do it again. It's a terrible country loaded up with debt financially. It's going to keep happening. The impact that has on America's equity market is absolutely minimal. But, you know, we live in a 24-hour news cycle. You know this better than anyone. And so the CNBC and their friends have to find something to fill those hours with. But right. You know, unless it's something big that really affects our market and our money, I just use it as a buying opportunity.
And let me ask you a question, because you know we're living in a time when there are trillions of dollars in retirement funds, and those funds used to be, not that long ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, to make a change in your fund and portfolio, you had to call somebody, mail something. It was a slow process. And now so many people can rock a market by having at their fingertips the ability to transfer to money market or flight to safety. Do you think that technology and the potential for that technology, it makes the market sometimes a very volatile and dangerous place, and that's reflected in some of the things that we see more than certainly more in the past, but is that a dangerous situation?
No, it's actually a really good point that very few people even think of, and I do agree that it increases volatility. I mean, it does when you look at market volume, at the total shares we see traded today, if you look at the number today versus 15, 20, 25 years ago, it's an astronomical hike. And that's, we've come to two things. One is, like you mentioned, retail traders being able to, at the click of a mouse, move money around. And the other is all these Wall Street algorithms that are scooping a quarter of a cent, 100,000 times a day, with their supercomputers there, parked 100 feet from the exchange. But I don't think it's riskier in the fact that it moves the market. I mean, the sad thing is, retail dollars, so my retirement account, yours, the stuff that we manage ourselves, make up a very small percentage of the total market. I mean, less than 10%. The bulk of that money is hedge funds, university endowments, international money. It's guys moving billions of dollars at a time. So if, for example, every listener to your radio show at the same time bought 100 shares of Apple stock, it probably wouldn't move the market much, because there's so much volume going in and out of that stock. So the one thing it does, I think it hurts people more than it helps them, because it allows them to let their emotions dictate their money. It allowed people in 2009 to freak out and sell everything and get out the worst possible time. It allowed people, in 98 and 99, we had that tech boom, to open up these new E-Trade accounts and start clicking at any stock that had a pretty ticker symbol and putting all their money at risk. And so, I think it's great for people who are educated, but the people who really don't understand investments and tend to be more prone to letting their emotions get the better of them, I think it ends up having a negative effect on their ability to grow wealth in the long term. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that as well as anyone else.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at is that if somebody were to buy 100 shares of Apple, they probably thought about it, researched it, and saw it was a good deal. But for most people that have with the touch of their mouse to their 401k portfolio, they're really not giving it much thought in the first place. They can be emotional. And it just, it makes me think that for a lot of these, of course, most 401ks and a lot of IRA accounts are in things like mutual funds, where the fund managers really have to think about that. It's like, we're really being voted on every day by a large group of people that really don't know investing,
Yeah, it's true. It's been a bad thing for investors too, because guys used to be judged on a 3-year cycle, or then judged on a year, then on a quarter, then on a month. And you can't judge anyone's portfolio based on what it does in a 30-day window. It's just insane to try to do. You look at Warren Buffett, arguably the greatest investor of all time. Man doesn't even have a computer on his desk. He's not watching it. Wow. He's not watching it by the tick. He literally does not have a computer on his desk. So, he said many times, buy something that you'd be willing to hold if you knew the market were going to shut down for the next 10 years. And that's a better way to look at investing. If you're not looking at, is the stock up a quarter or down a quarter? You're looking at, okay, is this a business trading at a decent price that I think will grow over the next decade, or 5 years or 3 years or whatever. But, trying to predict what it's going to do in the next 2 weeks or 2 months is just a fool's game. And more people lose money than make it that try to do it.
Now, how often does the Wealth Empire get published? How often is it available?
Our newsletter we put out once a month. So what I do, once a quarter when the new reports come out, the new 13F filings, put together a really big edition where there's about 55, hedge and mutual fund managers that we've identified as kind of the best of the best. These are guys who have been doing this for 10, 20 years, have amazing track records, low turnover ratios, holding concentrated portfolios. And so we kind of aggregate all that data, and it really opens your eyes. Okay, well, here's the top three or four stocks that are getting purchased right now. Here's the top few stocks that are getting sold. Here's the sectors that money's moving into. Here's the sectors money's moving out of. And then we'll kind of identify some of these top guys, their big ideas. I mentioned that David Tepper with GM is kind of one of his big positions for 2015. And, a lot of these other managers will look, where if they're putting, 15, 20, 25% of a multi-billion dollar portfolio into one stock or a couple of stocks, that's a high conviction idea. So we like to kind of highlight those trades, give readers a little bit of analysis on the stock, why we think they're buying it, and what we're expecting going forward. And then just really banking on that these guys, that the best Wall Street has to offer are going to be fairly intelligent people and pick stocks that beat the market.
Right. It's a fascinating idea, Russ. And how do our listeners find out more and subscribe and find out more about Wealth Empire?
Yeah, well, they can go to the site. It's wealthempire.com. I'd encourage them to just put their email address in. We send out a free every week. I do a free video and a free kind of newsletter. We focus on a stock or something going on in the market. So it's a good way to kind of get familiar with, what we're doing, how we're looking at the market. And then they can read more about the newsletter. It's only like $99 for an entire year to do that newsletter if they want to try it out. It's risk-free. They can get their prorated refund anytime. So, we're not out there trying to steal people's money. We're producing a good product. We want them to get some real value out of it. If they don't, we're happy to give them a refund if they don't see the value that we do in it.
It's so reasonable. And there's the idea that you've given us of how you went about thinking, how do we stand on the shoulders of some of these giants that are investing millions of dollars into research to figure out what they put in their portfolios? How do we get on their shoulders and kind of look over that and then communicate that information? It's a bargain. That's a fantastic service that you're providing, Ross. Again, it's Ross Givens, Chief Market Analyst for Wealth Empire. Go to wealthempire.com and take a look and decide for yourself, but look at the information. It sounds fantastic, and I really appreciate you coming on. It's been very, very interesting.
Hey, my pleasure. I sure appreciate you having me on. I love your show, Bill. Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Hey, Russ, come on anytime, really, and keep us up to date what's going on. I really appreciate it. I love the maybe we should get together and you can give us a little teaser about what's happening in some of these 13F reports and stuff. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Just let me know, Bill.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this. Please stay with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel with The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.